ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, movers, shakers, quakers, bakers, and candlestick makers, welcome to another exuberant episode of the completely mental misadventure of a thrift store. I am Matt Lehman, the owner of Finders Thrift and Vinyl in La Quinta, California, where our tale usually unfolds. Today we are somewhere else, and we'll get to that in a minute. As always, to my right, your left, the nougat to my Milky Way, the jelly to my donut, the weird little eggy stuff inside of a Cadbury cream egg, Frankie Ramirez.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
You like how I did that? Yeah. I made myself the strong exterior and you the izzy gooey sticky
stuff. Yeah, the good jelly stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so this episode is going to be a good one. It's going to be interesting. I hope it turns out as good as it possibly can. And there's a reason for that. It took me a while to figure out how I wanted to do this, because you kind of want to tease it because you want people to be intrigued, but at the same time, you can't tease it in the liners. If people are reading the description, you kind of want them to see. So I'm just going to spill it and move on from there. We have another guest today. He is on my left. His name is Tyree Jesse. Tyree, say hi to the nice people.
Hello, everyone.
So Tyree and I would never have met as of 3 weeks ago. I don't think our paths would have ever crossed. You live in Paris, Paris, California, not Paris, France. You work.
Big difference.
Yeah, he commutes from Paris, France. You work at Desert Regional, you're a security, and you work nights. I work days. I have my own shop. I'm a hermit. I very rarely get out except when I'm cleaning storage units, and that's how we met. As the story goes, I buy and sell storage units at States, and one of the things that has always been sort of taboo or people don't really talk about is where this stuff comes from. You know where it comes from. It comes from other people's property. They couldn't pay their bills or fell behind or died or went to jail, but you don't read it. You don't see that on TV. You don't do anything like that. So again, I also kind of figured out, did I want to bring Tyree in and let him tell his story, and then I'll come in and do the surprise, ta-da, I bought your stuff? But I don't want to take away from the reason that we're doing this. So I guess I'll tell my side of the story, and then we'll bring you in, if you're cool with that.
Okay.
So I went to a storage auction. It was somewhere in the neighborhood 3 weeks ago. And they opened this unit up, and it was very well organized. But what drew me to it was, on top of what looked like a desk or a console or something like that, was a painting. And it was a painting of a red hand with one red drip going down the side of it on a black canvas, and then it was coated in what appeared to be two-part resin. So it was a very shiny, very glossy, and it was probably 20 by 36, somewhere there, 24?
I think it's 30 by 36. It's pretty big.
Yeah, it was a decent size. And you could see that there was some other art underneath it. And I could see there were some boxes that had DVDs and Blu-rays, and I was like, well, there's some money there. There's some decent clothing. There was some baseball jerseys or sports jerseys. And I was like, well, let me take a stab at it. And this is one of those units that I don't normally tend to spend a lot of money on storage units. I'm not one of the guys that has ever found $40,000. I'm always the guy next to the guy that has $40,000. I wasn't there, but I know the guy that found the 1.2 in the storage unit. I know one of my friends has found well over $50,000 in jewelry in a storage unit. Another guy has found about $75,000 worth of art. But they also pony up. You're talking, these guys are spending $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 on a unit. I'm not that guy. I look at it as, if I can double my money and get out, I'm pretty happy. So it's much easier to double your money at $300 unit than it is to double your money at a $4,000 unit. And Frankie has seen some of those, and you're looking at these like, boy, how are you going to double your money on this? So
it's tough, especially if you're going to put the money up and just like hope for that
score,
you know.
And yeah, and that's the thing is, you never really know. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again: buying storage units in California used to be good money. It was a career. In the last 3 or 4 years, it has now become a gamble. Everything is way too expensive, and you're just a lot of times throwing money away and in the hoping of what's in a box. And there's a lot of scamming going on. We'll talk about that in other episodes. So, but with this one, I really liked that painting, and I could see that there were a couple more in there, so I was like, well, maybe this person was an art collector. Everything else in there was pretty nice and clean. So for one of those few times, and Frankie was with me the last time I did it, I just shut my brain off and bid. I didn't think about how much money I could be potentially losing, and I bought the unit for $650, or $625 or $650. Started going through the unit, and I was like, boy, this unit is, everything is in perfect shape, everything is clean, everything is well folded. Like, my initial thought, just seeing everything well folded, I was like, this guy might have had some military experience. And then I started going through the art, and I was like, wow, there's some really, really nice pieces of art in here. And then I started finding more stuff that made me believe he was ex-military. And then I found some stuff that made me think he was ex-Navy SEAL. And then I'm thinking, wow. And this is the first time I remember when I was done cleaning out the unit, this is the first time where I sat down and said, I would have a beer. I would sit down and have a beer with this guy. And I apologize for not bringing beer. It is 6:30.
Yeah, come on, man.
7 o'clock in the morning.
Beer and donuts.
Beer and donuts. And I have to go clean out two storage units after this, so I didn't bring beer because
I didn't realize you didn't bring beer. I thought it was like in your pocket or something.
No, it's for later. I'm taking it. It's in a box truck. It's waiting for me. And then I went to the office to get my deposit, and they said the owner of the tenant, or the tenant, previous owner, had some stuff that he wanted back. And I was like, yeah, sure, let me know. I know how this works, and I understand that it's not always wonderful butterflies and fairy tales in my world, and it's not really in anybody's world. You could say the same thing for anybody that resells. If you're going to garage sales and you're lowballing grandma for her fine china, although nobody wants china anymore, but for her jewelry and stuff like that, it's a dog-eat-dog world. It sucks. It is what it is. And I'm not going to sit here and justify what I do. But I always try to help out when I can. If I know that the tenant is there, I'll give them all of their paperwork, all of their photographs, and whatever else they're asked for, if I can. In Tyree's case, he asked for quite a bit of stuff, and I had no intention of not giving it to him. But I also immediately thought, I wonder if he would be open to doing a podcast, because I really think his art needs to be out there. I think he needs to be painting. He needs to be following that dream, that goal. But at the same time, in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, I've done this before, and I've had people just come up and attack me and had to call the police, and you try to keep the property manager as your third party so that they don't know who you are, and I have to protect my business. If you had been some crazy person and I had contacted you, you would have now known where my business was, and that is not good for me. That's horrible business. And again, in the back of my mind is, it's potentially a Navy SEAL that you're messing with. He could probably kill you 42 different ways by the time you take your first breath. So I contacted Frankie. Frankie and I talked about it extensively as to how do we do this. And Frankie was man enough to say, hey, I'll call him. And I was like, that's pretty cool. I appreciate that. And I was really close to having Frankie call him. But then I was like, I don't want to put my best friend in jeopardy. I know I'll call Mike. And Mike is my other best friend, and he's a lawyer. And so he reached out. He's like, I can do it through the office. It's real easy. Because then he's like, I have no affiliation to you. Nobody knows who you are. And I'll just call my client. So he reached out that same day, and you actually answered your phone. Because we had issues with the property manager getting a hold of you or vice versa. And the property manager, Mike, got a hold of you and talked with you for a while, and he called me while you were on hold, and he's like, hey, this dude's pretty cool. He said he's willing to meet up with you next Friday if you can do it. I was like, of course. So one of the things I also want to say very importantly is I am not holding any of your merchant or any of your property hostage. I'm not making you do this interview for it. I gave you all of that stuff, and I said, you can have all of your stuff that I can afford to give you. I said, obviously, I'm in it for $650. I've got to get out. I was like, I don't care if I make a profit on this one. I would like to get out as far as possible. But so, and like I said, I want you to be painting. I think that's where you need to be, and I want you to have your stuff back. So I can't say that and hold on to your art supplies. I can't say that and hold on to the paintings that you need or the canvases that you need. I was like, you should be an artist, but thanks for thanks for your $400 worth of supplies. Yeah. So you got all of that stuff back, a lot of clothing and everything like that. And then we met at Mike's office, and Mike had typed up a waiver just so we were all legalese and stuff like that. So having said that, we'll get back to the art in just a minute. Again, here is Tyree Jesse to tell his story.
So, I guess, I mean...
How did you get, I know that you went to art school, but how did you get from high school to here? Because you grew up in the Valley, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I grew up out here. I've been drawing and painting majority of my life, so it's kind of been something I've always done. After high school, I went to a little art school in Arizona. It wasn't a big deal, but when I came back, when I moved back, I went back to work to the place where I was working before I went to art school, which was the Boys and Girls Club in Palm Springs. And one of the kids that went there, his parents owned a screen printing shop. And they said, hey, you know, we're opening up a shop. They had just opened it, and they needed people to work there. And they were looking for someone that had a background in art. And the director of the Boys Club immediately thought of me. And I had just come back from art school, so I was fresh out of it, you know, and I was ready to go into my field. So he introduced me to them, and the rest is history. I was in the screen printing industry since 87, and then I opened my own shop in 98.
And I saw some indications of that in there, and I had a lot of paperwork. Your screen printing business was successful.
Mm-hmm.
I would say probably very successful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why did you decide to sell it?
I sold it in, I believe, 2014, and for the simple reason that I was burned out.
Yeah.
I was a one-man show. I was the seller, I was the artist, I was the guy that did the production, I delivered them, I collected the check.
Yeah.
I did everything. And doing that for as many years as I did, it gets to you.
Sure.
And I went through a few recessions along the way, and it just burned you out. And in the beginning, I was working actually out of my mom's garage, and it gets real hot in there because
well,
I had
you
a dryer.
Got too. Yeah, you got dryers,
and it got real hot, and that kind of wears you out too. But you know, I had some really big accounts, and none of those accounts knew that I was operating out of a garage. They thought I was legit, so to speak, and I was. I mean, my shirts came out just like the guy who had a building, you know, that he was paying rent out of.
Yeah, as long as you know what you're doing, you can do it anywhere.
Yeah. But I didn't tell them because I thought it might be like they'd look at it negatively because it was a garage. They probably would have not even done business with me. I didn't know. But
you were probably safe after you had produced their T-shirts and then said that, because then they're like, well, I understand what you're saying, is at first you're like, oh, I don't want to work with some guy out of his garage.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But after they've seen your product, then they're probably like, I don't care where he works. He does a good job. So it's good as it is.
Yeah,
so after you got out of screen printing.
I got out of screen printing. I don't know if I want to get into the part where I sold it, but I'll
you
try
can
to
talk about whatever you want. You don't have to talk
okay.
about anything. Again, this is you're not tied to this interview. You can get up and leave and say, screw you guys, I'm taking my projector and I'm going home.
you didn't bring any beer, so.
Yeah.
Right, I'm out of here. No donuts either.
There's no beer, so whatever. This is going to be a short interview.
So, I mean, I sold it, but the people I sold it to didn't quite run it the way I did. And, you know, it kind of went down the tubes. But my customers started calling me back and saying, hey, you know, we're not being treated right over here. So I kind of got back into it, but I was subbing out the jobs. I was having another shop print my stuff and because I didn't have the equipment anymore.
Right.
So I had them do my stuff for me, and it worked out for a while. But again, I started getting burned out because it became more of an effort because I had to go out and get the jobs, and you know I had to go and wait for them. Now I'm waiting for someone to get the jobs done, and I know if I was doing them, I would have gotten them done quicker.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're at their mercy, kind of.
Well, there's a difference between running your own business and having somebody else run your business. No one cares for your business nearly as much as you care for your business.
Yeah. And I spoiled my customers, and they got used to it. So when someone else was doing it, they, you know,
damn customers. They felt it.
Yeah.
Damn customers.
So I got out of it again. You know, I have maybe 3 clients that I keep, you know, and, you know, but I decided, you know, I don't want to do this anymore, except for maybe those 2 or 3 that I'll keep around and just sub them out. And I said, you know, I want to do something totally different.
Yeah.
So I said, what do I like? What could I be doing? Well, painting, or, you know, believe it or not, I enjoy like executive protection, the security industry. So I chose the security industry because I knew that was going to pay the bills.
Frankie was also security for
it. Oh, yeah? Well,
I did that.
He was also armed security.
All right, yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, it's different every day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's what I like about it. It's not a drag. You can't get burned out. And I was looking for something that wasn't going to burn me out the way screen printing did. So, you know, I went into that. And, you know, I got my licenses and permits and all that. And it's been fun. It's been fun, but I still wish I was painting.
And were you painting at all at that point? I mean, you were painting, doing some, because you did said you mm-hmm. did some shows mm-hmm. or exhibits somewhere mm-hmm. at some point.
Yep, I paint when I can, you know. And
it's hard to paint when you don't have your supplies, though, right?
True, true. I'm slowly getting those back. I'm thinking of bribing someone with beer or something. But
I think he's figured us out.
He's figured you out.
Oh, all right. I see how it is.
Yeah, so, I mean,
I'm just here for the beer.
I paint when I can, and, you know, I produce 1 every 5 years or something, you know.
Right.
People make fun of me about that, you know, where I don't paint enough. And when I do paint, it usually comes out pretty good. I'm happy with it, you know. I have some paintings, like, I think that one with the hand that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
there might be another painting underneath that.
Oh, so you painted, you use the same canvas.
Yeah. Paint over, well, yeah. If I paint something and I don't like the way it's coming out, I'll go over it.
Adjust it and then start over.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So speaking of your art, let me catch you up as to where we are. I knew that I wouldn't be able to sell your art in my shop because I have thrift in my name. Mm-hmm. And people come into a thrift store, they expect to find a Picasso for $12. And I didn't want to do that to your paintings, and I felt that they needed a bigger market. So I took them over to a consignment shop, and in fact, I took them over to Misty's Consignment, which is one of the largest consignment shops in Coachella Valley, and they do a fantastic job. Ironically, Stephanie is the director over there of acquisitions for art. I don't know if that's her title. I just made that up. But she's the one that deals with the art. She went to high school with you.
What?
Yeah. Because I showed her the pictures of the Crown of Thorns that you took back or that I gave you back. And your picture, I took a picture of you holding it.
Uh-huh.
And she zoomed in on it. She's like, I'm pretty sure. She's like, did he go to high school around here? He's like, yeah, I think he grew up around here. She's like, yeah, I went to high school with him.
What's her name?
Stephanie. I don't know her last name.
Oh, I need her last name.
I'll see if I can figure it out. And she liked the handprint, and she asked me what it meant or what it was, because I didn't know when I bought it. And go ahead and tell them it's your piece.
Well, I had actually called you.
Yeah,
well,
you texted me, yeah.
And I told you what the meaning was. It actually represents Jesus's hand and the red hand, because he shed his blood for us.
Right.
And there's a hole in the center to represent where the spike went.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting for me to tell you to help you sell it. So you can probably tie the story into it to sell it. You know?
I did not know that. I don't really, it didn't,
it's a religious piece.
It didn't matter to me that it was a religious piece, because it can be, it's also kind of ambiguous. It can be whatever you want it to be. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, it's not, and it's kind of like the Crown of Thorns. You know that it's a Crown of Thorns, but at the same time, it's so subtle is not the right word, but I guess delicate. It's so delicate that it doesn't necessarily have to mean that. And she asked me what the meaning of the red hand was, and I said, "Well, it's actually Jesus's hand with the." And she's like, "That's amazing. I love Jesus. I'm a huge fan." I was like, "I'm a fan of
his fan."
I don't think she said that. I think I just said it. She's like, "I love Jesus," and I was like, "Great." I said, "I don't care." I like said, I didn't buy it because that's what I thought it was. I bought it because it's a powerful piece. It's a focal point for a piece. So she took all of your, all of your art. Mm-hmm. She took a few of the abstract, abstract resins or abstract acrylics. And she said that they just don't sell well for her. And I was kind of surprised, but maybe that mark, I'm not an art critic, I don't know anything about it, but maybe that is played out. Because she does usually have a lot of abstracts in the shop. But she took a few. She's like, they might sell. She's like, I wouldn't hold my breath on them. She's like, they're good, but they just won't sell. So for information for you, I thought personally those would sell. We had talked about postcards. I still think the idea that I had for the postcards, I'm not going to reveal that yet. Mm-hmm. If we can figure that out, I think it's something that I can sell through the shop. It's just going to be a matter of if I can get them done cheap enough to do it. And so we're trying with that. And I'll let you know how they sell. And I asked her, I have a pretty good relationship with her. And I said, can you do me a favor and let me know if you get any feedback on these pieces? I said, I know you're busy and I know you probably won't, but just spread the word. People come in, or if it sells really fast, that's pretty good feedback too. If it sells fast, let me know. Because the point of this interview and the point of this podcast is I really truly believe, I don't necessarily believe in any deities. I believe in God, and God is everywhere, and He takes over stuff. And I don't want this to be a religious podcast, but what I do believe is that there are pieces to different puzzles that we walk through life, and if you're apt to and are open to, you can put these pieces together. Frankie and I were just talking about this morning. If I wasn't doing a podcast, I wouldn't have gone as far as I did with Tyree. I would have given you most of the stuff on your list. I wouldn't have given you the bike back. I wouldn't have given you the paintings back, because those were easy sales for me, and that was profit or getting my money back. If Frankie hadn't suggested we do a podcast for a year, we wouldn't be here. If I wouldn't have bought that storage unit, we wouldn't be here. And if anybody else had bought that storage unit, you wouldn't have gotten anything back. You would have gotten your pictures and maybe paperwork back, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And I say that knowing most of the people that were there. I think you would have gotten your paperwork and photographs back, and that's about it. If Amanda hadn't come out, Amanda and Carissa run Creating Your Epic Life podcast, if Amanda hadn't pushed me into doing a podcast, then this wouldn't have happened. And if I wasn't buying storage units generally, this wouldn't have happened. If I wouldn't have liked that art piece so much, if I hadn't thought to myself, I'd really sit down and have a beer with this guy, and then went to the office and they said he'd like to talk to you. And then I had to sit down and think, wow, well, you just put that out in the universe, and now here's your chance. Are you going to pony up, or are you going to sit down? Mm-hmm. So I decided to pony up. And on a tangent, continuing on that tangent, Amanda and Carissa said that they would love to have you on their podcast. Now, I don't know that being on this podcast that has under 40 followers is going to open up a world of possibilities, but I'm hoping that somebody out there of those 50 knows somebody that's kind of in the art world or can say, I like that piece. Because I'll have a couple other pieces. The few pieces that Misty's didn't take, I'll put up on the website and I'll put a price tag on them. If anybody's interested in one and likes the story and wants to help them out, then great. I will give you 80% of the sale, because again, I got to make some money on something. Which is way more than most consignment shops or anybody else is going to give you, is how I justify that. But if you know somebody that is an artist that can help him get to where he needs to be, maybe that's another piece of the puzzle. Maybe that's something that can help out. And maybe there's somebody on Amanda's podcast. I do have another artist. His name is Leonard. I will have to contact him. I did put out feelers, and I sent him pictures of your art on Instagram. He's going through some personal things right now, but his story is very similar to yours. I bought a storage unit out of LA years ago, and there was a piece of art in it that I thought was really good. It was very Picasso-esque, actually. And found him on Instagram. Turns out he lives in La Quinta. And he told me the story. He's like, oh, my God, I gave that to a girl, and I've been trying to buy it back from her because it was one of my favorite pieces. And she kept dusting me or ghosting me, and she just kept blowing me off. And he's like, I guess I know why she was blowing me off. It was in storage. It's got auctioned off. So I sat down with him and talked with him for a while, and he ended up being a really cool guy, and we swapped out. I gave him his piece, and he gave me two or three of his other pieces, so I had something. And I kept those. And like I said, I kept one of yours just for my own private art gallery.
You're not going to tell me which one?
It was just one of the resin acrylics. It was the red with a little bit of yellow in it. Okay. I said it'll be on Instagram as well.
The little postcard size one?
No. Yeah, I kept one of those as well. But no, it was probably 12 by 10, maybe 14 by 10.
I think I know it
kind of looks more like a universe picture. There's red through the center of it, and then it kind of fades out to yellow, and then it's got a white background.
What happened to John Lennon?
John Lennon is at Misty's as well. Yeah, I had a lot. That was at the shop. And it was just behind the counter, and I had a lot of hits on that. People wanted that.
Awesome.
I didn't even offer price on it because I know my clientele, and I knew what they would offer. And if I said I want $350 for it or $400 or whatever, they would have just walked away. Mm-hmm. So instead of dealing with that, I said it's not for sale at this point. Mm-hmm. Because I know that, again, I also know that you'll get more exposure from Misty's than you will from me. So maybe someone will see something and be interested. Again, this is all pipe dreams as far as I'm concerned. But it's a good...
It's a start.
Yeah. It's a stepping stone. And hopefully it does something for you. So what everybody wants to know is how did you lose your storage unit?
Well, over the years I've also been active in sports, and I played basketball a lot, and it tore up my left hip, and eventually I needed a hip replacement. So I couldn't honestly take the pain anymore, and I had to go ahead and get it done. And you know, I was on disability, which doesn't pay much at all, and so I got behind on a lot of things, and that storage unit was one of them. So, you know, I couldn't pay it anymore, and I got behind on it and ended up losing it.
And, unfortunately, that's the reality of most storage units is, for whatever reason, people think that they'll pay it off, and mm-hmm. that's the first thing to go. If you get behind on bills, your storage unit is the first bill that doesn't get paid, or the last bill to get paid. Realistically, with storage units, and one of the reasons I like buying storage units is it's a giant puzzle for me because I have to go through someone's life and try to piece out. I have to try to find cables that match certain things. That's an inside joke.
Yes, it is.
And I have to go through their I really essentially go through people's lives. I'm usually the last person to see someone's photographs if they pass away. I'm the last person to go through their photo albums to laugh at moments that they took pictures of, or to cry with them, or to get emotional over something that's in there, or to get them cry over a folded flag that I find in a trash bag. I'm usually the last person, and I try to piece their lives together to figure out, again, where they got here, how they got here, and if there's next of kin to give that stuff to, and usually it's impossible to find them. And again, as I talked when I opened, it's walking a razor's edge for me to do that, having a business on one side but trying to be not necessarily humanitarian but the guy that's doing the right thing on the other. Those don't always match up. They rarely match up. So this is, like I said, this is one of those opportunities where I'm really hoping that it gives me a little peace of mind that I'm doing the right thing and that maybe we can get you back on a track of creating art. That's where you should be, I think. So
I agree.
For everybody that's listening, like I said, I'll put those pictures up on Instagram. They'll be on Facebook as well, and Facebook will be under Finders Thrift, but I'll also do them on my website. So if you want to go to the website is findersthrift.com. Instagram is finders_thrift, and there'll be a link on there for Tyree Jesse Art. And if you have questions, please email me or DM me. You can email me at finderslq, like La Quinta, finderslq@gmail.com. If you're interested, or if you know of anybody that is interested in helping him or has any ideas of where he can sell more art or anything of any help, shoot us a message.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you. I'm glad that you came and did the interview. Hopefully this will get some hits and people will be able to help out.
This is more than I expected. This everything lined up perfectly.
It's,
you know?
That's what I'm hoping, you know, and I'm hoping that line just keeps going.
Yeah.
And someone else will come through. So
very cool.
Having said that, good luck out there and happy hunting.
All right, man. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Likewise. Thank you very much.
Have a good day, guys.